That's Romans chapter 8, verse 28. As you're finding your place, would you stand up in honor of the Word of God? If you're able this morning, now we understand. But if you're not, that's okay. But if you can, in honor of the Bible and reading of the Word of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now let's read together, please. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Father, I thank you so much for the Word of God. How powerful, how comforting, how convicting it is. And Lord, the what it means to me, my family, and what it's done in my life. God, I pray that you'd do that kind of work this morning in all of our lives. Work through the Word of God as Pastor Johnson comes and preaches from this passage, that it will not only be effective, but it'll make us doers of the Word this morning. Now, Lord, bless in a mighty way. Empower our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power. And then, Father, if there's somebody this morning that does not know Jesus Christ that's sitting in this room, I pray they would settle that before they leave today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, I'll ask that you make sure your cell phone is turned off or to vibrate or whatever you need to do to make it quiet during the service time this morning. Excuse me. I wonder how many of us today could quote Romans 8:28 from memory. Quite a few, I bet. I wonder how many times we've used that verse in our lives. Have you ever said it to yourself when you faced a situation that didn't make any sense to you? Have you ever quoted it to another Christian when they were going through something and it just seemed like, how could there be any good in any of this? It starts with, and we know. And we know. What is it we know about Romans 8:28 this morning, dear people? Here's what we know. We know there are two parts to this verse. If you're like me and one of those heathens who writes in your Bible, you should divide Romans 8:28 into two parts. Because there are two parts to this verse. There's God's part and there's our part. And we know that all things work together for good. Draw a line right there. Because that's God's part. God's part of Romans 8:28 is somehow, some way, through the omnipotence of an almighty, omniscient, omnipresent God, to be able to make all things work together for good. Now that's God's part of that verse. We know that there's two parts to it, and the second part is our part, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So we know that about Romans 8:28. We also know this. Now hear me. We know that God is able to do his part. Thank both of you. I said, we know God's able to do his part. Now look at me. I've stood there like you stood there and looked at things in my life and the lives of others and thought to myself, how could anything good come out of this? Our job is not to question whether or not God's able. Our job is to remind ourselves, and we know. That word, the expression, and we know. The word know there means to know with a certainty. I mean an absolute, complete knowing. Full knowledge, absolute knowing that God is able to do his part. God is able to make all things work together for good. God can do that. We must know this. We must make sure we understand this. We must make certain that we believe this, that God has the ability to do so. And every now and then you need to remind yourself that God can do this, dear people. Listen to me now. He stepped out onto nothing and spoke the worlds into existence. You understand that? There was nothing, and there was God. And God said, let there be. And then there was, and that's how it started. God did this. God made all that we see from nothing. He made this. He didn't make the sin, but he did make that. He fashioned these mountains with his fingers. He spoke the stars into existence. God stepped out onto nothing and said, let there be light. And there was light, ladies and gentlemen. And God created everything that we see, and he made it from nothing. And the God who could do that can make all things work together for good. So we know there's two parts to this verse. We know God can do his part. Don't doubt it now. We also know this. We know not to get on God's part of Romans 8:28. We know not to get over there. Leave that part alone. Leave it to God. Listen now, listen. He doesn't need your help. How many mistakes have people made in their lives because they thought God needed this help to fix something? God takes... I'm not saying you don't have a part in what he wants you to do. I'm simply saying you're not God. Don't think you can do better than he can. Don't get on God's part of Romans 8:28 now. Don't do his part. Don't get over on that side of that thing and say, well, I don't think God can make good out of this. I've got to fix this. You better be careful now. Abraham and Sarah did that, and we still got conflict 3,500 years later because they did it their way instead of God's. We don't have to do God's part, okay? We don't want to get on God's part of Romans 8:28. We just don't want to get over there. They want to leave that alone now. We want to leave that to the Almighty God, and don't do God's part. Don't doubt him either. I had to prime the pump this morning to get you to say that God could do his part. Because some of you are sitting there thinking, yeah, but not in my situation. Oh, so God plays favorites now. He'll help some people but not others. Is that how it works? Now, I don't care what you say. If you've got more than one kid, you have a favorite among your children. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Just go ahead and shake your head like that. Yes, you do. I'll get notes and people say, no, not me, Pastor. I love all my children the same. Well, you love them all the same, but you still have a favorite. Don't you? You do. Now, if you only have one, you don't even care for them. But I mean, other than that, that's, you do have a favorite among your children. There are just some that have a little, they got a little inside track. Now, for me personally, I had a brother and a sister, older brother, older sister, and I was not the favorite in the family. And I knew it. See, how'd you know that? Because my brother and sister told me. That's why. That's how I knew it. Plus the fact that every time I went to school, they rented my room out. I mean, it was stuff like that, but God doesn't do that with his children. And we know to not get on God's part of Romans 8:28. And we know, listen now, and we know to concentrate on doing my part of this verse. There is my part here. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Here's what that means. I love him like I'm supposed to love God. Not like I feel like I love him. Not like I love him as long as God does what I want God to do. And if he doesn't do what I want him to do, then I don't love God. That's not love anyway. That stuff comes from Hollywood. That stuff that comes from the world. That's the stuff that comes from the flesh. That's not love. Oh, I love God, but see, he didn't do what I wanted. So then you don't love God. See, to love God is the same. We love him like he loved us. He loves us one way. No return necessary. That's how God loves us. That's incredible when you think about it. And you ought to thank God that's how he does love us. He doesn't love us because we love him. He loves us because he loves us. He's the God of love. God is love. He that loveth and knoweth not God, for God is love, the Bible says. It comes from him. But he wants us to love him. But now, wait a minute. My responsibility here in this part of my part of Romans 8:28 is to love God unconditionally, no reservations. You think about who you love today, who has captured your heart, who you have given your heart to, who you love today. Wouldn't you do just about anything for them? Anything that wasn't wrong, let's put it that way. Wouldn't you? Because you love them. You would do everything. You go out of your way to do that. I remember a couple in our church years ago, the brother needed a kidney. The lady in the marriage, her brother needed a kidney. She didn't even hesitate. They were matched, and all the blood types and all thing has to happen. She gave him the kidney. Never thought. They told her, you know, going to have one kidney now. You have to be careful. And told her all the consequences and possibilities and all the things that might happen and everything else. And she just kept saying, I'm going to give him my kidney. My brother's going to die if he doesn't get a kidney. I'm going to give him my kidney. And she gave it to him. See, if you love somebody, there's no limit to what you'll do. Aside and separate of wrong, etc. You understand that. But you understand this? Now look at me. And if you love God like you're supposed to love God, then there's no limit to what you do for him. There's no limit to what he could take from you. There's no limitation with real love. Charity never faileth, Bible says. Then you live in his purpose, which simply means you live for God. So, well, no one does that perfectly, Pastor Johnson. He didn't say perfectly. He just said you live in his purpose. That means if you get off track, you get back on track. That means if you wander from his purpose, then you get back on his purpose. You work at that day-by-day thing. You live for him. What is the commitment of a marriage between a husband and a wife? It's a commitment between a husband and a wife. You're committed to loving each other, taking care of one another, doing the things that you do. That's why you do the work thing. That's why you provide for needs among the... That's what you do. You're committed to this. You have a purpose to what you do. You're not just going up to get to work and get a paycheck. You have a purpose to what you're doing. Living for God is living according to his purpose for your life. Now listen, that's our part. That part we should be concentrating on. We got too many Christians today, too many people who are all upset with God's part because they don't see it's coming together the way that they want. And we'll get to this and why in just a moment. But listen carefully. That's not your part. Your part is to live for him and love him. You work on that part, okay? And we know that I need to work on my part. And we know one more thing, and I'll get to the rest of the message. And we know this. God waits for me to do my part before he does his. Romans 8:28. And we know all things work together for good. To them, qualification. To them that love God. To them who are the called. See, he's waiting for you to do yours, so he'll do his. See, we're sitting back saying, well, I'm going to... basically going to live my life the way I want. I'm really going to do basically what I want with my life. Nothing bad, nothing wicked, nothing wrong, but I know it's not what God wants. I know it's not the will of God. I know it's not what God designs and desires for my life, and I don't understand why he's not making everything work out for good, because you're not doing your part. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So we know we have a God big enough to make everything work out for good. We know that all things work together for good. I can't always see that, can you? But you see, the blessing is I don't have to, because that's God's part. Now then, the subject of the message this morning is that good of Romans 8:28. I'm going to violate one of my own principles when it comes to this verse. I'm going to step back across that line, and I want to talk to you for just a moment about how is it God makes everything work together for good. Well, first of all, you have to understand this. Please listen. The good of Romans 8:28 is good according to him, not me. That helps a lot right there. See, it doesn't look good to me. How could cancer be good? I don't see that. I can't always see that. Why suffering? Why struggles? Why battles? Why trials? Why loss? Where's the good in that? Is that good? Is it good to lose a job? Is it good to struggle in life? Is it good to have difficulties in our families and difficulties among ourselves? Is that good? How can I see? I don't see good in all this stuff. I don't see that. I don't see how all things, it's amazing. I looked that up. I studied it intensely. And you know what all things in the Bible means, church? Do you know what it means? It means all things, just exactly what your King James Bible says, all things. Every bit of it, the good, the bad, the bitter, the sweet, the high, the low, the dark, the light, all of it. God has amazing ability to take all those things and make them turn out, all things working together. Not against each other. Together. All things work together for good. But you see, the problem is the good is good by him, not me. Now, we know how this works. Have you ever had someone recommend a restaurant to you and say, oh, you got to try this restaurant? And you went over there and you thought, what rat did they skin and deep fry and put on my plate? What nasty, stinking food is this? Yeah, have you ever done that? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You thought, I'm never going to ask them again anything. I'm not going to ask them where a good gas station is because they've got bad gas over there too. I mean, this place is terrible. People don't have the same tastes in things. They don't. And what's good to one person is not good to another one. You see, if God made the good of Romans 8:28 good to you and good to me, see, what would be good to you wouldn't necessarily be good to me. We used to have a family in our church, the Ukomets family. They're from the Ukraine. And one day I mentioned to them, I said, could we come over sometime and have some Ukrainian food? They said, sure. So they invited us over to their house for Ukrainian food. Now, I say, you like that kind of stuff? I like food. I didn't get that eating granola and spring water now. Let me tell you that right now. So we go over to their house. Most of the food I could recognize had some similarity to it, except this one pie dish food item that was on the table, part of dinner. It had beets on top of it. I like beets. I said, what is that? And they told me what the word was in Ukrainian, which means fish in a coat. I thought, fish in a coat, fish in a coat. I said, I'll try it. I'll try anything once. I've eaten critters before. I mean, I've tried stuff. I mean, seriously. They cut me a little piece of it. I'll put it on my plate. And here's what fish in a coat is. It's raw salted herring with mayonnaise on top of it and beets. Yeah? Okay. Ushers, help this man right here. And beets on top of that. Raw salted herring. Why don't you just jump in the middle of a flock, a herd of, what do you call them? School of herring in the ocean and swallow a couple of them. I mean, you talk about nasty, fishy. Of course, I cut it. I put it in my mouth and I thought, where's the nearest flower pot? I got to spit this thing out. I was trying to get my napkin and blow up my nose. You know, do one of those numbers. Oh, and they said, oh, this is a delicacy in the Ukraine. I thought, I'm never going over there. That was good to them. They sat there and ate it like it was delicious, and I thought, oh. And the bad thing is I tasted it first before I got into the meal. I had that raw herring mayonnaise beet thing in my mouth for the rest of the dinner. Almost got it, went to the bathroom and brushed my teeth. Was that bad? See, that was good to them. Are we clear? See, good, if it has to be good to you and good to me, then there's no qualification for good. But it isn't that kind of good. It's good to him. And God, dear people, God knows what's good for his children. All things work to... That's why you don't want to get on that side of Romans 8:28. You want to get over there and say, well, God, that wasn't good because that wasn't good to me. And that wasn't good to my loved one. And that wasn't good to my friends. And that wasn't good for these people. And that couldn't have been good. God, you don't understand what good is. No, he does. Oh, he does. All things work together for good. How's he do that? According to his way. Everything's good according to God in his way, in his time, and in his way. That doesn't look good to Job when everything's wiped out in one day of his life and all his children are killed. That's not good. But you know what I found out, ladies and gentlemen? I found out when something doesn't look good at the time, if I trust God, it will be good in time. You have to give God time to do what God's going to do. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. As we've often reminded you, Job never knew why he suffered all he suffered and lost all that he lost. He never knew in this life. God never tells him. 42 chapters in Job, you'll never find one time God taking Job and putting him on his knees and saying, "Now, son, let me explain to you. There was this contest in heaven between myself and Satan, and your righteousness and hedge was in the middle, and I let testing come to your life." He never explained anything to Job. Job did not know till he got to heaven why he went through it. See, that takes a little time to find that out. There are some things we'll understand in this life, some things we'll understand later in life, and some things we're not going to understand till we get to heaven. And let me also just add one more to that this morning. There are some things we're never going to understand. They're just not going to make sense to us. Come on, when your four-year-old looks at you and says, "How come the sun shines?" Now you can try. Well, it's a big ball of gas that burns constantly, and then you can try the solar explanation of the thing, but you know the four-year-old's not going to get it. So you come up with some dumb story about a candle on the back of a turtle. That doesn't work either. So some things you just look at them and say, "It shines because it shines." And that's a better way to do it, by the way, than trying to get to a four-year-old, get a solar understanding to a four-year-old. You understand why God doesn't explain everything to us? But all things work together for good in His way, which means in His time. And according to when God determines things are best to be known and understood. And according to the way God designs and desires that things will work together for that good in His way. All things work together for good in God's will. God's plan for our life. We must understand, one more time, please listen to me. We must understand God's will for your life is not just God's will for your life. It is God's will for your life that impacts God's will for my life and everybody else's life, because your life in His will fits in His will for everybody. I can't fathom that. I've tried to wrap my mind around that just a little bit to comprehend it. And I think to myself, I don't get that. We're with the family on vacation there, and we had four households. Let me count them. We had four households with children trying to get them to do something at the same time. On time. Yesterday at the funeral, 10 minutes before the funeral started, everybody 50 and up was already in the room. 5 minutes after it was supposed to start, everybody 30 and under was showing up. Learn the principle. If you're on time for something, you're late. That's free. I'll just throw that in there, okay? The point is this, though. Can you imagine that? It's like trying to herd cats. Well, where's so-and-so? Well, he had to go to the bathroom. We said 11 o'clock. I mean, couldn't you go to the bathroom at 10:45? I didn't know 11 o'clock was such a laxative. Now he's got to go to the bathroom. And then somebody throws up, and then, stuff. And then someone says, "Oh, I thought you meant noon," and you can't get them all going in the same direction. But let me just say this to you, by the way. You guys, especially when you go on vacation, don't get aggravated with that. Just repeat this little Baptist mantra. I'm on vacation. I'm on vacation. I'm on vacation. And just do that. And it'll remind you not to get aggravated with stuff, because you're not going to get them all going the same direction. Now look at me. Can you imagine God's will for your life fitting into the will of God for humanity? That's a big picture. Did you understand that when He makes all things work together for good, it's how God takes all of that, puts it in your life, and your life fits into that plan if you love God and live in His purpose? See, I don't see how He can do that. Again, that's not God's program. I'm not supposed to do that part. I'm just supposed to love Him and live in His purpose. And then somehow, some way, in the magnificence of the Almighty God of heaven, He takes all of this and makes it work out for good in His will. All things work together for good also in God's work. The work that God does in people's lives. See, as a boy living in a drunkard's home here in this town, being beat by my stepfather and all the stuff we had to go through as children in a drunkard's home, I didn't see anything of that. I didn't know God then. I didn't see any good in anything like that. That didn't look good at all. How could that be good? Did God want that? No. Don't misunderstand. When He takes all things, He means your mistakes, my mistakes, everybody else's mistakes. Their failures, my failures, and everyone else's failures. My mistakes, their mistakes, and everybody else's mistakes that affect and touch my life. God has the ability to take all of that and work it together for His good in the work God wants to do in your life and the life of others. See, I didn't need that in my life. God didn't want me to go through that in my life, but I did. And so the reality of it is this. I either go around the rest of my life poochy lip because I had a tough childhood and chip on my shoulder, mad at God and the world and everything else, or I realized, you know what, God was able to take that which He never intended for my life, but now is a part of Mike Johnson's history and life, and take it, work it all together for good so someday he becomes a pastor. Oh. Now he's able to take his experience from his childhood. And when a little kid puts his head right here on my shoulder and his tears go down my suit, who's gone through the very same thing I went through, I said, I understand, son. And somehow, it works out for good in his work. Some of you folks, you need to get the chip off your shoulder. You need to stop blaming stuff and God and everybody else for the stuff you went through in your life. And realize if you love him and live in his purpose, He'll take all the things you've gone through in your life and He'll work them together for good in the work of God. We're permanently crippled because of our past. Life is ruined, all over and said and done. We got 55, 60-year-old men who are decried their lost childhood. Grow up. What is wrong with you? You don't want to go back and be 9 or 14? God, help us. Go back and be a teenager all over again? No. Don't make me do that, please. I don't want to do that. Well, I just don't see how anything good could come out of my childhood, Pastor Johnson. You don't have to see it. He does. You love him and you live in his purpose. He'll take what's happened in your past and he'll put all that together and something good will come out of that. See, that's his side of that. If I stay on my side of Romans 8:28, realize I have a God who is capable to make all things work together for his good, whether it's his way, his will, or his work. And I just concentrate on loving him. And I concentrate on living for him. He puts the package together of my life and makes that package fit in the lives of others. And oh yeah. Oh yes. There are times in my life when I just can't see the good of what happens in our lives or in the lives of others. I can't see the good of it. I have prayed for people before that God would heal them and they died. Then reminded myself he did heal them. He healed them permanently. Took them to heaven where they live forever. If they knew Christ as their Savior, where they live forever with him. How bad is this? This is bad. But I didn't see that as good because I saw the death. God saw eternal life. A preacher friend of mine's little boy suffered with cancer. Oh, he was, I guess Bo was about 6 years old when he died. He asked me to come down there and do his funeral, be a part of the funeral for that little boy. Funeral for a 6-year-old? With his life all ahead of him like that? Can you see good in that? See, I don't have to. I found out a long time ago, if I leave God alone to do his part, and I concentrate on doing mine, and we know, oh, so what reminds me is, we know that God will do his part if I will do mine. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.